Amen. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you all for participating in that. Such a blessing to praise the name of our Lord. Well, good evening and welcome back. Last Wednesday, we ended by discussing some career highlights of Joshua within the context of discussing what it means to have or build a good name, a good reputation that is valued above wealth and riches. As Solomon observed, a good name is more valued than wealth and riches, silver and gold. And so last week I tried to lay out the case that we're not just made in the image of God, but that we are carrying the name of Jesus, and as such that carries with it a responsibility to live in a way that honors the Lord. And so tonight we're going to be looking at Joshua, and we're going to look at the book of Joshua and some different episodes in the life of Joshua and see what it says and shows us about how to build that godly reputation. And I want to make sure I note, and I might do this again if I remember, that we're not trying to earn God's love. We're not trying to work our way towards salvation or in some sort of better situation. We need to be living in a way that honors God because of his, as we just sang, his majesty and his power and his grace and his holiness. Okay. And so Joshua, the life of Joshua, I think exemplifies a life of a person who prioritized the Lord, put him first, and it gives us an example of how to live the Christian life. But it also tells us some things about God. And so I want us to think about how we can live as a believer in this world and some mindsets that we can carry as we go along day by day. But I also want to remind us of some traits about our great God. You know, if you think about what Solomon said in Proverbs 22:1 about a good name and reputation being worth more than riches, we don't know what Joshua's bank account was. But we do know that his reputation lives on as a man who followed God. And I hope that that's something that you're striving for, is to be someone who honors the Lord. And after you're gone, that we think about that as opposed to how nice a house you had or how big your bank account was. So we're going to be in Joshua 1 tonight for most of the service. And I did ask that you read Joshua last week. But last week I was a teacher, and I had a job as a teacher. But I'm retired now. So if you didn't do your homework, not my problem. Okay? So there you go. All right? So a couple things before we jump into the passage here on Joshua. Last week we said that Joshua was first named as Hoshea, which means he saves, and then Moses changed his name to the Lord saves before he went out on his spy journey. And I think there's some interesting parallels between Joshua and Jesus. Joshua is the Lord who saves. No, I'm sorry. Joshua is the name that means the Lord saves. And Jesus is the Lord who saves. Jesus leads us into the promised land of heaven. And Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. And both of those journeys, ministries, are and were within the will of the Father in reliance on the Holy Spirit. So Joshua and Jesus seem to have some parallels there. We don't worship Joshua. Let's make sure we're clear on that. Okay. Joshua was part of the Jews being rescued from slavery and bondage and brought into a place prepared for them. And Jesus rescues us from the bondage of sin and slavery and brings us into a place that he has prepared for us as well. So let's get into some episodes about Joshua and his life, and they'll show us how to build a godly reputation. And if you're taking notes tonight, joining us online taking notes, I'm going to give you four terms. They all start with the letter R. And the first one is a trait of being repentant. Repentant. And so we're going to read Joshua 1 in its entirety, and we'll maneuver our way back to the repentant theme. So Joshua 1, follow along, I'm going to read the entire passage. Joshua 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land which I am ready to hand over to them. I am handing over to you every place you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north. It will extend all the way to the great river Euphrates in the east, including all of Syria, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. You must lead these people in the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. This law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid and don't panic, for I, the Lord, your God, am with you in all you do. Verse 10. Joshua instructed the leaders of the people, go through the camp and command the people, prepare your supplies, for within 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and begin the conquest of the land the Lord your God is ready to hand over to you. Joshua told the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember what Moses, the Lord's servant, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place to settle and is handing this land over to you. Your wives, children, and cattle may stay in the land that Moses assigned to you east of the Jordan River, but all of you warriors must cross over armed for battle ahead of your brothers. You must help them until the Lord gives your brothers a place like yours to settle, and they conquer the land the Lord your God is ready to hand over to them. Then you may go back to your allotted land and occupy the land Moses, the Lord's servant, assigned you east of the Jordan. They told Joshua, we will do everything you say. We will go wherever you send us. Just as we obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. But may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Any man who rebels against what you say and does not obey all your commands will be executed. But be strong and brave. Okay, so the passage starts with God instructing Joshua to leave the past, that's Moses, behind and get moving. He tells Joshua the territory they will have, that he, God, is with him. And God tells him not to stray from the law, to be obedient, and that success will follow him as he does these things. And he says, believe three times, to not fear, to be strong, and to be brave. And we're going to hear those same commands from the New Testament later on at the end of this passage. You know, I read in Isaiah 40, 10 to 13, that God is with me, that I should not fear, and I begin to think about fear. As I begin to think about fear, my initial conception of fear is that it's about being scared, like in a scary movie, or the boogeyman's in my house. But fear takes a lot of forms. It takes the form of anxiety. It takes the form of worry, the day-to-day stress, such as an appliance going out, something unexpected in your plans. And we have to choose, are we going to nurture those negative emotions, those fear-based emotions, or are we going to remain calm and trust that our difficulties are temporary and that this is not an example of God abandoning us? See, we have a choice in all of those things. And this is an important message that God communicated to his people. He communicates it to us today through his word. He's in control. Don't fear. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Jesus spoke of how he clothes the lilies of the field and takes care of the birds of the air. And if he does that, he's going to take care of us. And so Joshua then takes the message that God gave him as a good leader and communicates it to his leaders, his subordinates, and then they pass it on to the people, saying, let's go in verses 10 to 16, let's do this, God is with us. And the people responded by pledging themselves to Joshua. So this is an example of that word repentant, a repentant heart. Okay, and I want to explain that and draw that out if I can here. Joshua and the people of Israel are having a repentant heart. What they're doing is they're leaving the past behind, and that's the epitome of having a repentant heart. Putting the past behind you, the failures and negativities, resolving to move forward, trusting the Lord that He is with you. The Israelites collectively and Joshua himself knew full well their need for repentance, to put the past behind them. And God himself said that Moses is dead. The old has passed away. Time to move forward. God is not being callous. He's not ignoring the legacy of Moses. He's not saying, okay, forget Moses. He's just saying, we got to move forward. It's time to move forward now. And a repentant heart is at the core of our faith, I would say. It's the starting point where we recognize our need for God, our need to not let the past, our sins, our failures, our fallen nature be dwelt upon and control us. And so you came to faith at some point in your life by repenting, having a repentant heart. And that's a moment. Okay. But I would say that we need to have a repentant heart every day. Not in the idea of, oh, Lord, save me today, and then it's the next day, oh, Lord, save me today, because that's a one and done. Okay. But keeping that mindset of focusing on your position and understanding how much you need God, that's having a, what I would say is a repentant heart. Again, we're leaving the past in the past. And the reason I apply this to Joshua and the Israelites is I want you to think for a moment about what they endured. They endured 40 years of wandering. It took them about a year to get to the doorway of the promised land. And then they shrank back from the opportunity of going into the promised land. And they were then having to wander the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. And do you know what happened in that whole 40 years? Every person over the age of 20 died. Those who were on the doorstep of the promised land and they were age 20 and above, in the next 40 years, they all died. So Joshua saw friends and family who had shrunk back from the opportunity that God had given them. He saw them die. And as did all the generation of people under the age of 20. So those people had seen and known the failures and the consequences of the failures of the generation or generations that had failed to go into the promised land. And so in this passage in Joshua 1, they resolve with repentant hearts to follow Joshua, to put that past behind them. They're not forgetting it. They're learning from it. That's what I think a repentant heart does. And we think of repentance and a repentant heart as one that is all about salvation, and it is, but there's more. It's that humility, that gratefulness for the Lord, for His blessing, for His salvation, and carrying that salvation sense, that mindset of gratefulness for all He's done for us every day. I think a way that we can do that is choosing to not fear, choosing to not be anxious. You know, that trait of having a repentant heart and mindset mirrors God. God has no need to be repentant because God does not do wrong, as we know. Okay? But God is a God of mercy and grace. And so repentance and grace go hand in hand. Okay? God's grace is limitless. And having this mindset of humble gratefulness, a repentant heart on a daily basis, reminds us of God's love and His grace and His mercy for us. We're going to jog over to Joshua 7, verse 4. And I want to read verses 4 to 6, and then we'll talk about how that relates to this repentant heart concept. Joshua 7, verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed about 36 of them and chased them from in front of the city gate all the way to the fishers and defeated them on the steep slope. The people's courage melted away like water. Verse 6. Joshua tore his clothes. He and the leaders of Israel lay face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening and threw dirt on their heads. See, here's what happened. The Israelites enter into Canaan, and they take Jericho, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes. They take Jericho, and God specifically said, when you take this place, no plunder. Well, one guy ignored the memo. His name was Achan. He took some stuff, hid it. Joshua didn't know. Nobody else knew. That's what happens when we sin, by the way. We hide it. We hide it. So they go to take Ai. Ai is a smaller city. They're like, don't send the full army. We got this. They go in there and they get routed. And they're defeated. And their courage melts away like water. And so what was Joshua's reaction to this defeat? It's the same reaction that we should have when we sin. Repentance. Joshua cast himself before the Lord, seeking restoration of their relationship. And you should be clear here. Joshua didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know why they lost. He was unclear on that. Okay? But his first inclination should be our first inclination when that fellowship with the Lord is broken, when we delve into fear or anxiety or worry. Okay? We should quickly, as soon as we can, find our mind. Okay? And the Holy Spirit nudges us. Get into a position of repentance. His first inclination was to go before the Lord. That's the heart of a godly man. That's the heart of a person who understands that God is the blesser and he cannot go forward without him. Okay. He exemplifies right there a godly name, that godly reputation that we see Solomon mentioned in Proverbs 22:1. And our lives need to start and be characterized by such a heart of repentance. Our life as a Christian starts with that recognition, but it should not be our last act. We should continually be in a posture of repentance, gratefulness, humility. This doesn't mean that we go about in really old clothes and, you know, beat ourselves to death and, you know, have this really guilty conscience all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. It's an attitude of thankfulness, of humility, a heart seeking to please the Lord that turns to him when we sin, when we need guidance, when we need peace. I think having a repentant heart, and this is the last I'll say on this, puts us in a great position, the right position. It puts us in a position to be teachable. It puts us in a position to serve. It puts us in a position to grow, to be held accountable, to be able to nurture ourselves on the Word. So I want to encourage you tonight. The first of four traits that we see in Joshua's life. Have a repentant heart. Cast yourself before the Lord. Remember how much you need him daily. The second trait of a godly person that we see in the life of Joshua is that of being resistant. We are urged in James to resist the devil, and we're told that he will flee. We know that we live in a broken world and that we're asked to live as stars and shine like stars, spreading the love of Jesus to the world. The trait of having a resistant heart is where we keep our guard up. We fight against temptation, against the strategies and manipulations of Satan. It's a heart that chooses to not fear, to not worry, to not be anxious, and a heart that sees every action and every thought as an opportunity to either honor or dishonor God, to please or displease him. and to take every thought captive, as it says in 2 Corinthians. That's the characteristic of a resistant heart, a resistant heart. Joshua, I would say, had this trait. And I arrive at that conclusion both by reading between the lines of Joshua 1 and some other episodes in Joshua's life. And I'd like to illustrate those if I could right now. So back to Joshua 1, verse 13. Remember, this is Joshua speaking, what Moses, the Lord's servant, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place to settle and is handing this land over to you. Joshua is urging the Reubenites, Gadites, and a half-tribe of Manasseh who settled on the eastern edge of the other side of the Jordan. So they're over here, here's the Jordan, and then they're going in. Okay, they're over in this side. Okay. He says, I want you to remember what God has done for you, what God has done for us. In other words, a resistant heart is one that resists the urge to forget, to ignore, to not have your eyes on God, and to not remember what he had done for them and what he was doing. A resistant heart looks out for the wiles of the enemy, seeks to resist temptation, which is what we typically think of in a resistant heart. But a resistant heart also resists complacency, passivity, and inactivity in giving God less attention than he deserves and less worship than he deserves. Joshua's life is clearly one of action, of leading others to God and pursuing a relationship with him. Look at what God tells Joshua to do in verse 8 in chapter 1. He says, this law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so that you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. God is strongly advising Joshua, not commanding him, I would say, because Joshua has a choice. Okay? He's advising him strongly to have his word on his lips, to memorize it so he can be obedient. You see, God knows Joshua. Joshua is a human. You're human. I'm human. Okay. Our natural inclination is sometimes to take the low road of effort. He's advising us through Joshua to resist the urge to take God lightly, to not maximize our talents and our abilities for the Lord. In one of the most famous episodes in Joshua's life that you've probably heard before, in chapter 24, Joshua is giving a farewell address to the people of Israel. And he says to them, choose who you will serve, God of the gods of the locals, whom they'd largely supplanted. He was blunt. He tested the will of the people. He said, can you resist? Are you going to resist? And then he says, I don't care what you guys are going to do, essentially. He says, I and my family will worship the Lord. That's a resistant heart choosing God every day. You need to have a resistant heart. A resistant heart doesn't join in when others are engaging in willful sin. Joshua knew what was happening, or figured out what was happening, when the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf. Moses had been up on the mountain. Joshua accompanied him part of the way. Joshua's like, hears this noise and sees what's going on. He didn't join in. Resistant. When the spies came back and said, whew, that's a nice land right there, but we can't take it. Joshua didn't go along to get along. He and Caleb said, no, 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 we can do this. Let's do this. The Lord is with us. He stood his ground. And as a result, he probably endured great sadness at seeing all of those people pass away in the next 40 years. I'm sure he wasn't enjoying wandering those 40 years in the desert, burying his friends and family. And so sometimes your resistant heart may have a price to pay. I remember being a freshman in high school. My friend Jerry, my friend Brian, and my friend John, they laughed at me in the library of Evergreen High School because I was a Christian. And I cried. But I wasn't going to give in, because I knew it was right. And Joshua did too. We have to have a radar that's on the lookout for the enemy. And what does a resistant heart tell us about God? It tells us that God has equipped us. And God knows we're going to go through those struggles. And he's going to be there for us. That full armor of God we've talked about. He's given us that to equip ourselves. We know from Romans that he says that there'll be a way out if there's temptation. Jesus himself endured temptation. Resistance. We can resist. And Joshua did that. So we have a repentant heart. We have a resistant heart. Let's go now go to Joshua 8, chapter 8, verse 12. And we'll take a look at the next R word. Joshua 8, 12. He took 5,000 men, this is Joshua, set an ambush. No, I'm sorry, Joshua 8, 1 to 2. I was looking at the numbers there, sorry. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. The Lord told Joshua, don't be afraid and don't panic. Take the whole army with you. March against Ai. See, I'm handing over to you the king of Ai, along with his people, city and land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king, except you may plunder its goods and cattle. Set an ambush behind the city. So God's telling Joshua, stay calm, follow my directions. And as a result, you know, as a result of Achan's sin, as we said, the people's courage melted away like water. Their confidence was shaken, but within a chapter, they are back. They are victorious thanks to their obedience to God. And this exemplifies the next trait of Joshua that Joshua both possessed and Joshua taught. And it's for us as well today. It's that of being resilient. Resilient. A resilient heart is an example of a godly life and a good name, because we are going to have failures. We are going to sin. We're going to experience loss and difficulty. Give in to panic. Give in to fear. We're going to have anxiety. And it might be because of our choices, or it might be because we've been attacked, or it might be because someone else just flat out wronged us. We're going to have these difficulties in life. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said in John 14. So where do we turn? What do? Do we turn inward and nurture that hurt? Nurture that anger? Let it sit and stew? Or do we turn ourselves upward and outward toward God? Look, I understand Joshua was human. He experienced all the things you and I experience. Trepidation at the future, maybe of a new job, a new season in your life. You know, Joshua was a slave in Egypt. Okay. And so leaving Egypt was probably very exciting, but also a little like, oh boy, I don't know what we're getting ourselves into. What's going on here? And he saw people choose time and time again to ignore God. Lost people in death because of their choices. Experienced defeat at Ai. Had soul searching that was hard for him. You've been through that period, I'm sure. So what do we do when our soul is downcast? As David put it, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, when we experience deep pain as Heman did in Psalm 88, what do we do when we're in a situation as Jesus was at the thought of the cross in the garden where he sweated blood? When we're in the dark night of the soul, we must choose to have a resilient heart. Seeking the Lord, setting things right, restoring that relationship with Jesus. That resilient heart mirrors, once again, the grace and mercy and love and ongoing forgiveness we have in God. In Romans 5:1, it says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That enables us to have a resilient heart. And that resilient heart starts with a repentant heart, recognizing your need for God. Saying, all right, let's go forward. Joshua knew full well how hard it was to lead a people who had shown their willingness to forget God. And yet by choosing daily to serve God, to meditate on his word, and to be obedient, he gives us an example of the resilient heart. So I want to encourage you to listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Have a resilient heart. Unfortunately, failure is inevitable. But we can move through it because God has given us a path forward. God strengthens us if we allow Him to. Resilient. Joshua was resilient. Faced a lot of difficulty. All right, let's look at the last instance, the last trait. It's that trait of being reliant. Reliant on God. You can see Joshua's reliance on God in Joshua 1, verse 13, once again. He reminds the people that God is with them, that He's giving them victory. That God is trustworthy and He can be relied upon, that He can be followed through. And so this is not just a trait of a godly life when you're reliant on God. It's also a trait of God Himself, that He is reliable. There's two giant examples of a reliant heart in Joshua's life. And in both instances, he does what good leaders do. And by the way, everybody here is a leader. We all lead somebody. Family, work, church. You even provide good examples when you go to the grocery store and you do the right thing. Okay? You can lead. You are a leader. Joshua models this heart. He encourages his followers to be reliant on the Lord. It's very similar to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, where he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Joshua is following God. He's really being reliant on God. Here's the example. Here's the first example. Okay. In chapter 6, they're going to conquer Jericho. And God gives the battle plan to Joshua. Now, it is not a battle plan that is normal in human creation of battle plans. Okay. God said, hey, walk around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. When the walls go down, go in there and attack. Take care of business. Okay. Now, if Joshua didn't have a reliant heart, he would have said, are you sure, God? He would have balked at that plan, but he didn't. And I don't think that he did because there's no recording of it. And that isn't some sort of author thing, because the Bible doesn't flinch. The Bible tells us honestly where people mess up. Joshua said, okay, God, that's the plan. We'll do it. And he communicated that to his soldiers, and the victory was theirs through the Lord. A second example of the reliant heart is Joshua's entire career. He admonishes the leaders of Israel in 23:11 to watch yourselves carefully, to love the Lord your God. So a reliant heart is built on a lifetime of worship and obedience that continually seeks to follow God yourself and encourage other people to come along as well. You see, a reliant heart is a submitting heart. And that's at the core of all of these things. You need to have a heart that submits in repentance on a daily basis to the Lord. And I've been praying these words, God, give me a repentant heart each day. Started doing that. And it continually puts me in a posture of reliance and submission to the Lord. You must choose to submit to God in resistance of sin and apathy. So a heart of submission is at the heart of repentance. A heart of submission is at the heart of resistance. We have to submit to God to be resilient in His power, to pick ourselves up. And again, it's not about our power. It's about allowing God to lift us up. And we have to submit to Him to be reliant. There's two passages I want to close with in the last couple of minutes that show us how to live. They encompass how Joshua lived. They encompass those R words. And they encompass the idea of building a good name, like we talked about in Proverbs 23:1. In chapter 1, verse 7, God tells Joshua to be very strong and brave. And he repeats that command in verse 9. And then Joshua tells his people that, and they say it back to him. Be strong and brave. We know that God fights for us.
loves us and protects us, but God also asks us to be strong and brave as we live in this world. So this isn't like complete, we still have skin in the game here is what I'm trying to say. Okay? And God empowers us and encourages us and says, you go out and do this thing, and I'm with you. Be strong and brave. You got this. This last verse that I want to finish with is one of my favorite all-time verses in the Bible. Okay? And I would tell you to say this at my funeral, but honestly, I'm going to try it out with everybody because I'm competitive. Okay? But if perchance I don't make it, I hope you will be encouraged by this verse now and then. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Stay alert, stand firm in the faith, show courage, be strong. Everything you do should be done in love. This is one of those verses that pops out at me, and I keep saying things pop out at me, but this verse is great. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Paul is doing this end of 1 Corinthians salutation, like, see ya, hey, great, good to talk to ya, remember this, and he can't help himself, and he's like, yeah, he bursts forth. It's just plunked right in the middle of his letter. He says, guys, stay alert, stand firm in the faith, show courage, be strong, everything you do should be done in love. I like this because it's simple, it's direct, and it's actionable. It reminds me of how Joshua lived his life. Joshua was alert. He was a leader. In the years of being 80 till 110, he was in official leadership. Military commander a little bit before that. So he knew the value of being alert. We're in a battle. We need to keep our eyes focused on God. We need to be alert for things that are going to tempt us and distract us. Keep us from God honoring good reputation, God reputation honoring living. Just like Joshua did. We need to stay alert. Stay alert. He says also to stand firm in the faith. You need to know our God. You need to trust in him. You need to hold firm to those convictions, even when other people are falling away. And you do this by meditating on God's word as God told Joshua to do, and he said, I'm going to do that. Holding it in our hearts and living it out. Not just coming to church on Wednesday and Sunday and Bible study on Tuesdays or whatever days. You're going, did that, moving on, okay? We need to let this thing penetrate to our core. This is how we live a godly life. He says to show courage, we need to have the pluck to trust in the Holy Spirit and make right decisions. Joshua was the epitome of courage. Courage in battle, courage in leading a stubborn and rebellious people. Very courageous. And at the end, the verse says everything, it says be strong as well. It says be strong. Joshua, of course, was strong in the Lord. The last thing in that verse that, to me, brings it all together, everything you do should be done in love. Love is at the core of these traits. Love for God, love for other people. We must speak in love, we must act in love, allow God's love to flow through us. Joshua loved God. It's clear. He led his people with love. He left a great legacy, a great name. He lived each day by staying alert, standing firm in the faith, showing courage and being strong. And he did it because he loved his Lord and he loved the people he was with. We need to do the same thing because we bear the name of Jesus. That's how we create a good name that lasts far beyond riches and wealth. Let's live as Joshua lived each day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to speak about you, to share some things from your word that you put on my heart. And Lord, I pray that as we go out from here, Lord, that we will consider how we can live in grateful repentance each day. That we can have a resistant heart to do what's right. We can have a resilient heart that leans into you when we fail. And I pray that we will model that and teach that to our kids and our coworkers and our friends when they're down. And Lord, I pray that most of all we will have a reliant heart that acts in love toward other people, relying upon you for our every need. And Lord, I pray these things for me, that I will have a heart that's repentant, resilient, resistant, and reliant. Lord, may our time with you, whether it's here at church or in the Word, in the backyard, or wherever it's at, be precious, and that, Lord, we will live in love with you. In your name, most precious name, amen. All right, thanks for being here, folks. Have a good night.